Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and those walls came tumbling down. So every kid learns that song in little kids' ministry in Sunday school, right? We all know the story of Joshua at Jericho, and of course that's our story for today, March 12th, in Joshua chapter 6 and 7, and also Joshua chapters 8 and 9. And even though every kid knows that story, you still ask questions like, hey, did that really happen? I mean, did those walls really fall? Is there any historical evidence? Is Jericho even a real place? I mean, can you find it on a map? Did that kind of thing really happen in ancient history? And the truth of the matter is that Jericho is a very real place. As a matter of fact, it's one of the oldest cities in Israel, maybe one of the oldest cities in the world, because of its strategic location, its proximity to water, its protection from the highlands of Israel. It's been a place that has been an ancient civilization for generations, for millennia. And it's a place that you can not only still find on the map, you can still go and visit that place even to this day. But it was one of the very first things that Joshua had to do if he was going to take the promised land. He had to take this highly strategic city of Jericho. Well, after crossing the Jordan River into the promised land, Joshua and his people had to climb to the top of a steep ridge. That's what comes out of the River Jordan, steep ridge, in order to be able to gain control of the country. Guarding the bottom of the natural ascent into the central highlands was the city of Jericho. So God gives Joshua this battle plan. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't imagine being Joshua going back to the generals to tell them what the plan is. Okay, guys, here goes. Here's what we're going to do. 7 days we're going to march around the city, and on the last day we're going to march around 7 times and then yell really loud. And the walls will come down and we'll go kill everybody. I mean, imagine bringing that to the generals and I'm going, all right, man, we're with you. Good plan there, dude. But they had been so conditioned by their years in the wilderness and by the circumcision at Gilgal and the other things, they were willing to do anything. And they trusted God. So they went ahead with this crazy battle plan. Now, have you ever stopped to think why it would be that God would give them such a strange battle plan? Well, I think there's at least a few reasons. One is that it highlights the importance of faith. The ability, the demonstration of trust in the Word of God, even in the face of external evidence that shouts, this is ridiculous, this is foolish, you're going to fail. Faith is trusting the promise of God as opposed to just the efforts of an individual to be able to meet Him or accomplish something in your own strength. The parallel to our Christian experience is immediately obvious. You know, the Jericho in my life and in yours is not ever going to be conquered by our own human efforts. The walls are just too high and too thick, 30 feet in the case of the historical Jericho. It will come down, however, if we pick up the mighty weapon of faith, trust the promises of God. He can pull down the mightiest stronghold, the biggest city, like it was nothing at all. Well, the second thing that God's battle plan clearly emphasizes is that God gets all the credit. The glory goes to Him, not to anybody else. And the last thing that this strange battle plan emphasizes is the importance of complete obedience. You know, not one brick fell, not one crack appeared in the first 6 days that they walked around the city. Nothing came a-tumbling down until the 7th time he marched around the city and they shouted. Until that instant, nothing happened, but the people of Israel had to be obedient up until that point. Now, archaeology points to a city existing in that place when Joshua was there. It also points to the fact that there was a time that that city was destroyed at approximately the same time that Joshua was around. Now, it's impossible to tell from archaeology how the walls came tumbling down, but we know that they did come tumbling down. Some have suggested that the shouts created a harmonic resonance around the city. And as they all shouted at the same time, the amplification came and the walls fell. Others have suggested that there was an earthquake that happened at that very moment when the people were shouting. But you know what? Whether you imagine harmonic resonance, an earthquake taking place or the literal physical hand of God coming down doesn't really matter, because it all came at the exact timing that God told Joshua to shout. No matter how you calculate it, it's a miracle that came from God. And there's no other way to explain it besides that. Now, interestingly, the book of Hebrews says that the promised land is a kind of an object lesson for us, a type that we will experience as a Christian. It's symbolic of our spiritual journey of pressing forward into the rest and promises that God has for us. And since that type is established for us by the New Testament, it's fair for us to make a spiritual application with regards to the city of Jericho. I believe that there are some obstacles in the form of well-fortified barriers to our life that squarely block the paths into spiritual maturity for each one of us. To reach the highland plateau from which the land of Canaan could be occupied, Israel had to deal with Jericho. And to reach the plateau of spiritual maturity in our lives, you may have a Jericho that has to come tumbling down in order for you to move to the next level of your spiritual existence. What do you think is the Jericho that might be blocking your path into Christian maturity? Is it a particular sin that has such a grip on us that we can't seem to break its power? Is it an inability to forgive someone who hurt us very badly? Is it an experience that badly scarred us, or an influence we can't evict from our daily experience? Joshua and his people won a decisive victory at Jericho by fully trusting God. Those 30-foot-high walls came crashing down because Israel exercised faith. I don't know what the Jericho-like obstacle is in your path, but God's battle plan for your life probably will not require silent marches or trumpet blasts. But I'll bet it will have three salient features. One, it'll be a plan that brings victory through faith, not human effort. It'll be designed to glorify God, not you. And you won't see those bricks falling until you've completely obeyed the word of God. All right, a couple of comments on chapter 7. The first one is that it would appear that Joshua didn't consult with the Lord before sending a contingent of troops to deal with a small settlement of Ai. Whenever we neglect to consult God through making our plans, we're asking for disaster. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But remember, Jesus also said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. You see, God wanted the people of Israel not to strike out on their own and just beat up the little guy with a large army. He wanted them to realize that in big battles and little battles, they're totally dependent on him. The second thing is that there is a terrible principle from the scripture that comes out here. The sin of just one person can interrupt the flow of God's power, and it can block a whole people of God or a whole congregation. As far as we can tell, only Achan, of all the people of Israel, only Achan sinned against the ban on taking personal booty out of Jericho. But for the sin of that one person, the whole nation paid a terrible price. It's because there's sin in the camp, and the blessing of God is being withheld from the whole camp until that sin is dealt with. There is a terrible lie that Satan has been telling us for generations, ever since the time of Adam and Eve. He says, go ahead, break God's laws. You're the only one who's being affected by your breaking of the laws. No one else will be hurt by it. That's a fearful lie. Anytime we do what's banned by God, it affects us, the people around us, our families, our churches, and our cultures. Stay true to God. Joshua 8 and 9 is the last part of what you read today, and the subject of Gibeon's deception is an interesting one. You know, these wily people really pulled the wool over Joshua's eyes with a clever disguise, the story of a long, arduous journey from a distant land. What a great reminder to us that things are not always the way they seem to be. Did you notice verse 14 of chapter 9? It says, the men of Israel sampled their provisions, but didn't inquire of the Lord. Now that's a revealing comment. They checked the evidence, but they didn't check with God. That's twice now in the space of just a few days that Israel has gotten into big trouble by simply relying on their own judgment to make important decisions. It happened at Ai when, without consulting the Lord, the spies developed a battle plan that looked good, but quickly turned out to be a disastrous one because they didn't know about the sin of Achan. They couldn't know about that, but God did know. And he could have revealed it to them before the rout if only they had stopped to check their plan with him. Now here, with this reference to Gibeon. They looked at the old clothes. They looked at the old provisions. They tasted the food, the bread, and on what basis they could see and smell and taste, they decided to make their decision without stopping to ask the Lord. And they wound up paying a small price for that. Is there anything going on in your life that you just haven't asked God about? You're trying to make decisions without Him? Inquire of the Lord, and He'll give you wisdom. Now, it is very interesting, and you'll read about this tomorrow as well, that Israel, when they found out about the deception, they didn't even think about breaking the oath. Because the Israelites had taken an oath before God, Israel honored their word even when it was given under deception. That's how important your word is. Your word matters. And the important thing is to honor it, even when it hurts. Well, speaking of words, this is Mark Ashton, hoping you're enjoying Project 4-4, where we remember that people don't live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And I pray that you're enjoying reading and understanding more of God's word today. God bless you.